Hey there, this is Adam Zekas with Tom Kissingberry from the IDP Read and React IDP podcast right here at TLF. Say hello, Tom. It's you, chap. Golly, good gosh. Here I am. Great. Anyway, if you're interested in getting started with IDP and Dynasty Leagues or looking for a way to dominate your IDP leagues, then our show is for you. Isn't that right, Tom? Ah, yes, my good man. And of course, I bring the coveted data and insight that can only come from a monarch-loving, tea-slurping, crumpet muncher such as myself. Yep, very, very cool, Tom. Very cool. Well, you can find our podcast right here in the DLF family of podcast feed on DynastyFootball.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at The Read and React.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
Well, go ahead. Who are you?
I'm Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Steven underscore Roto, not Dynasty FF Addict like this screen tells me that I am. I do not have a trading problem, but I'm starting to.
And I'm just a guest that does like trading quite often, not ready to admit it's a problem.
Wow, guys. Way to just, like... unenthusiastically, you know what? We're not even starting over. We're leaving that. I want everyone to hear how unhappy my friends are to be on this show. That's how I want this show to start.
This is happy. I don't think you've noticed that this is happy.
Bostonians or Massachusettsians or whatever you
New
are.
New Englanders.
Yeah, because I don't think New Jersey's in New England, right? No, we're like right below that. So that doesn't count me.
You're the redheaded stepchild.
Russ actually does mean redheaded for some reason, even though this is not.
This might
be going gray, but it is not going red. Well, hey everybody, and I mean session 218 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And I know Rocky just fist bumped in the air, and he doesn't know why, in his walkabout on the deserts of Philadelphia. You know, he was just jealous that I kept getting kidnapped by cults and street gangs. He's like, you know what? No, I'm going to kidnap myself and just get lost. And apparently there's deserts in Philadelphia. I didn't know, but he wouldn't lie to me. He would never lie to me. He wouldn't lie to me, right? The smile on your guys' faces let me know that he will absolutely lie to me.
Yeah, he definitely would.
Yeah, he definitely lied to me. Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm learning a lot about these people I've called my friends lately. But you both haven't been on the show. Has either of you been on the show before?
I don't even remember. Yes. With
yes,
Scott.
You have.
Yes.
Okay, so Steven's going to technically be my co-host. And then, Bob, we're going to give you the little... interviewee thing, because nobody cares about who you are, but like it's something we have to do because you're the first time on the show.
Okay.
So Bob, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Well, it's not where you can find me, it's where you see my work is more the way to say it. But you can find me over at the Dynasty Trade Calculator, posting from the Twitter account, doing some shows with John Bosch, the Dynasty Time Machine. And any pictures that you might come across on the Twitter, basically either Steven or I might have had a hand on it. Especially when it comes to fishbowl and shirts.
Yeah, I said it in the tweet, but the reason I gave these two beautiful gentlemen on the show and not John Bosch, because he didn't care enough to actually take time out of his family vacation to come on this show. Like, how selfish can you be? Because
priorities.
Right? You know, because these two guys are the hands and minds behind most of the stuff you find on ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which you should go to, because to say they've been killing it is an understatement. Like, some of these shirt designs are just like chef's kiss all over the place. Like, right now, if you were a patron of our show and watching this live, which you can be at patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, that's how you do it as a professional podcast host, you would see Bob's awesome freaking Cloud City shirt. Lift it up there, Bob. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
See? And I need to take a second to say thank you, all you geeks out there, because I think I checked the sales of the shirts. The top three selling shirts were all Star Wars shirts. Yes! Geeks everywhere unite. Whew. Okay, Bob. Bob.
Yes.
How long have you been playing fantasy football?
My first fantasy football draft pick was Steve Young.
All right, but like, was he still in the NFL when you did it?
I think so.
Why do you have to think about that?
They won the Super Bowl. It was 1992. 92 maybe? 92, because they won it in 93. I am 41 years old.
Wow. You've been playing for like a long time.
Yes, I got Jerry Rice and Steve Young that season.
Wow. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty, I would say, not as long. 7 years, 8 years.
Yeah, that's still longer than me, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. What am I doing? About 5-6 years? So there you go. What are some of the best and worst trades you have made in these years of Dynasty?
I really wish Bosch was on the show for this one. Because one of the worst trades happened last year.
Was it? Did it involve Kyle Pitts?
No, it did not involve Kyle Pitts. I joined as an orphan team for one of his leagues. I believe it was his superpowers league.
Okay, I was about to say, if it was welcome, everything is fine. Then if you did well, no, I'll take credit that you took over my team. And if you did
poorly, this is power hungry.
Oh yeah, no, I would not go near that.
We just got through the dispersal, and I had gotten Mahomes in the dispersal. Shortly after, he sent me an offer for Mahomes by sending Christian McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson. Ooh. Now, this was just before all the news broke.
Oh, no. So that was a good trade at the time.
It was a decent trade at the time, and the value, I was way ahead on the value, right? I mean, I was getting McCaffrey and Watson.
The guy we thought was fine just took a year off because he was a contract dispute.
Yeah. No, this was 2 years ago. Sorry. This was before everything.
Oh, before the contract stuff.
I'm just getting QB1 and getting QB4 and running back 1 for Mahomes. Wow. And he just saw the value.
Oh, wow. So Watson hasn't played and McCaffrey's played like 8 games since you've gotten him.
No. I did flip McCaffrey.
At least you saved that a little bit. That's good.
I flipped McCaffrey.
What was it for?
It don't matter.
For CD Lamb and J.K. Dobbins.
Oh, that's a win. I mean, even when that was like real values, Christian McCaffrey, I feel like that's a good trade.
Yeah. No, I was happy with that deal. But that was also before the ACL injury for J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
Don't touch players that Bob goes in on trades for. All right, I wrote that down. Okay, good, because you're not really spinning a great, great picture of yourself right now.
That you asked for like one of the worst. That I mean, I've had a lot of dynasty trades, so that was probably one of the worst.
Okay, what about the best?
One of the best. I broke down a 5-team deal. I pulled together a 5-team deal, 5-team trade, where I traded Julio Jones away. I traded Brady. I traded Le'Veon Bell. This was 2017, and completely flipped the roster around. I now have Mahomes. I have all of the receivers from the CD Lamb class. I have Dobbins. I do have Barkley out of it. Completely sold out on everyone and took a team from the cellar to the championship in 1 year.
Oh, that feels so good.
Yeah. By just completely grabbing every draft pick possible in the 2018 draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saquon taking your worst to first. That's what he does. And he's going to do it again this year. Saquon, baby.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. What is a guiding principle you take with you, whether offering or evaluating a trade?
Guiding principle.
Trade calculator.
Yeah, I'm plugging the Dynasty Trade Calculator. I will also plug the DLF.
I was about to say, don't forget what show you're on right now and that logo that's right next to you.
I am going to tell you right now that every trade, if I'm not sure, then I will pull up the trade calculator and go on DLF and look at their trade finder, their values, and it's somewhere in the middle for me. It's because Dynasty Trade Calculator has trade values. You've got everything based off ADP with DLF. So you take the two of those and you come up with your own conclusion, is how I analyze every trade.
And just for anyone listening, that's how you're supposed to use calculators and analyzers. Like, those aren't Bibles of value. You put them in there to see if you're close to what the rest of the world kind of thinks. Like, because right. It's funny, like, I get
like
a lot
Justin of Ross. Like, Justin Ross. If you put Justin Ross in a calculator, it's
baby.
Nowhere near where you can get from Ross.
Oh, yeah. Very, very true. I have overpaid for Justin Ross in many, many leagues. And I did get him in green, by the way.
I know. I'm looking at that second copy.
Hashtag Team Clemson, big wide receiver, baby. Speaking of a wide receiver that is not really big and did not even go to Clemson, Terry McLaurin got a 3-year extension. Now, I like this because he's now getting paid as a top 5 wide receiver, which good for him. Like, he's played like it on a very, very bad team. And this makes me happy because it's like, you're not going to just like give Jahan Dotson the keys to the wide receiver room after paying this guy this much money. And I really like Terry McLaurin. So this makes me happy. Does this change anything how you felt about, like, it's either of them, right? Like, both of those wide receivers, McLaurin or Dotson. You know, Steven, you haven't talked in a while. Why don't you go first?
I like the deal for him. I know there's still a lot of detractors about Carson Wentz and is he really going to be able to unleash the potential that Terry McLaurin has. I'm buying into Terry. I'm kind of cooling the Jets on Dotson. I'm honestly kind of shocked the deal even came together like this, a long-term deal, because it seemed for a while here like it was not going to be the case. And
yeah, it seems like it wouldn't be this easy, at least, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I will say I think that he's still a bit undervalued. I mean, before the contract and even now, I think there's still going to be that undervaluing just because of the cast around him and just kind of the historical bias around that Washington offense. People got to remember that Carson Wentz isn't a whole lot, but you know, Taylor Heineke wasn't either. And the fact that Carson Wentz also supplemented a Michael Pittman 1,000-yard season last year in Indianapolis. So that's the thing that people just need to remember, is it doesn't take much to get there. And Terry McLaurin should be a lock for just as good numbers as what Michael Pittman had last year with Carson Wentz, if not better.
You are speaking my language. How about you, Bob? Are you a McLaurin guy in the first place? And does this do anything for you?
I'm not. I am happy to get the trade value for him. I know there's a lot of people in on him and appreciate him, his talents. I believe he is 26 or 27. So when you go to trade him, people think he is younger, and you're able to turn back the clock and get somebody around the same value that I think could have more potential.
In June DLF ADP, oh man, I just lost it. There he is. Terry McLaurin is wide receiver 21, which like I kind of love, because that feels like a floor to me. You know, like if I can pay that price, I'd be thrilled about it, because I think he has not high-end wide receiver one upside, but like high-end wide receiver two. Like I still think there's room for improvement on 21. But there's some interesting names around here. Let's start a little lower. Terry McLaurin or Marquise Brown?
I'm going to go Marquise.
I mean, their
quarterback situation for me changes. Yeah.
McLaurin, McLaurin is actually, I thought they were closer in age, but yeah, McLaurin's still 2 years older. But he is not older than this guy, Terry McLaurin or Mike Evans.
Oh, I mean, if I'm going win now, I'm taking Evans, because he's got every breakout set ready for him this year.
Especially those first few games when Godwin isn't back yet.
Yeah.
There's one. Well, speaking of Terry McLaurin or Chris Godwin, McLaurin wide receiver 21, Godwin wide receiver 18.
And Godwin is 2 years younger, I believe.
Yeah, Godwin's no. They're the same.
He's up there.
He's half a year difference. Godwin's been around like ever at this point.
Friend of me, what did he just? He signed a 3-year deal with Tampa.
Yes. Oh yeah, they both did. I think they both signed 3-year deals.
Man,
I got two receivers between McLaurin and Godwin.
Yep.
So I will take Godwin.
Yeah, I'd still go McLaurin.
I think I'm going McLaurin, and honestly, it might just be because he's playing the whole season. Like, that really might be all I have. Like, I think they're both amazing wide receivers. Like, they both understand the game. They both are very good route runners. And while we don't necessarily know what the future of Washington's quarterback room is, I feel safer that Wentz can be a bridge until they get a good draft pick or trade for a big quarterback, as opposed to that every year, Brady coming back, it's Brady coming back, it's Brady coming back. And then that's going to kill every wide receiver in Tampa's value until he retires for 8 minutes and then shows back up. The other one I wanted to ask, because like this is going to really throw age into it, Terry McLaurin or Rashad Bateman?
I don't see the Bateman hype. I cannot buy into it. I don't know what it is. I just cannot do it. I'm going,
I like
McLaurin.
The player, and I think it's a mistake to believe that he's going to walk in and do what Marquise Brown did, because they are not the same. But I think they don't pass as much as they did last year, but they're going to pass more than they did 2 years ago. So fingers crossed that Mark Andrews can still be Mark Andrews, and then Rashad Bateman could be wide receiver 19, which is kind of where he's at, if he's lucky.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is, last year, we got to remember, Devontae Freeman, Tyson Williams,
yep,
and Mark Ingram. That's not happening this year. There's going to be more emphasis put on that run, and I don't think it's going to benefit really anybody. I think Mark Andrews is going to come back to earth a little bit as well this year just because of that, because they're finally going to have, you know, hopefully players in place. Yeah, like an actual, like, formidable running back that teams will actually have to scheme against, which is something that Baltimore just didn't have last year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, if I didn't like the player pre-draft, I would be insanely with you. I would just be like, nope, I will sell at this hype all, but I liked him. So I'm hoping he's good enough to make them want to pass the ball enough, because they're not going to pass the ball more. Like, you know, they probably have like a clock. Like, they have someone sitting there with a clicker in their hands. They've passed like 18 times. We're only allowed 23, and there's still an entire quarter to go. You guys better slow down. Like, I feel like that's what they do in Baltimore, especially when their defense is playing well. But yeah, if I didn't like Bateman pre-draft, I would be right there with you. But I'm holding on to it in my heart that he'll be able to just pull magic targets out of the air. Okay, well, that's the only news, thankfully, except for, I mean, like, Gronk actually retired, which I'm not buying. That's it. I don't think anything else exciting happened. So, which do you guys want to do first? Listener questions or trade addicts trades?
What do you think, Bob?
It doesn't matter to me. I just found out there was a show sheet.
Hold on. No, we're going back to the – let's go to the private chat. Let's go to the time. It doesn't show time frame. But if it did, it would show you that that's been in that private chat for at least 45-ish minutes.
The same chat where you told us you were watching us.
Yeah, well, I think it's collapsed at this point. Yeah.
And to the point where I said, hey, guys, I'm throwing the show sheet in the private chat, even though you don't really need to look at it anyway. And then Steven's like, yep, not looking at it. Like, he just,
yeah,
no qualms about it.
Didn't even bother me. Whatever comes up, comes up. You did a lot of work. I appreciate your effort.
There was very little effort put into it. So what do you want to do first, trades or questions?
Let's go with trades.
Cool. Thank you for actually answering instead of just staring. All right. Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, because I can't get anyone in Trade Addicts 1 to accept my trades. So we don't have any of those. But it is a monumentous day in Dynasty Outhouse Russ Fisher's fantasy football career. I traded for Christian McCaffrey. Literally, why? The first time I've ever done this.
Why?
I don't know. Okay, so yeah, Here's really why I did it, because I was trying to trade for Travis Kelce and I couldn't find a way to match, like, just like mesh everything together. And I'm like, let's do it. Just in case he comes back and he is Christian McCaffrey again, why not? But here's the trade. This was in Trade Addicts 3. It was Christian McCaffrey and Travis Kelce. I got the at least two guys I tried for. I sent away Dalvin Cook, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Higbee, and a 23 first. My 23 first, I think. So making my team better makes that pick worse.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're in win now mode, and really, I mean, Travis Kelce, another guy who's probably due for another banner year. Yeah, he's what, 32 now? But, I mean, if, you know, both of them stay healthy, that's plenty of value. And, I mean, Tyler Higbee, talk about a guy that just kind of came and went. I don't even know what to really, you know, pin him down as an asset this year.
Oh, it was really you're giving me a tight end. I should probably put a tight end going back to you. That's literally the only reason he's in there.
I I can't stand that in trades.
It works. It
really nobody will trade a tight end for a different position unless they're getting a tight end back.
It's exactly. So have those Tyler Higbees, those guys where you never actually want to start them, but I guess you could sometimes. And then that's who you just throw back. Unless you, when you're trying to trade for Kyle Pitts, in which case you need, well, you probably have him on every single one of your teams. So it's not like something.
Not in three. I went and got Kelsey, Kittle, and Hockenson.
Wow.
And I offered all three for Pitts and I still couldn't do it.
Yeah. I have a list. When Pitts was first drafted, I made a graphic of all the trades that I sent out.
I remember.
I tried to trade Christian McCaffrey straight up for Kyle Pitts. I got denied. Tried to trade Travis Kelce straight up for Pitts. I got denied. I tried to trade Justin Jefferson, I believe, or it might have been Devontae Adams. It was wide receiver one at the time for Kyle Pitts. I couldn't get him. You can't do Mahomes straight up, but I did try to send Dak Prescott straight up for Pitts, and I couldn't get him.
If it was Justin Jefferson, like that swap is one thing I could see happening. And Dak, I feel like someone should accept Dak over Pitts, but the rest of those, like if you had Pitts, you weren't taking those.
No, but it was just more proof that Kyle Pitts was more valuable than the RB1.
But okay, I wanted to point out because by accident, here are the tight ends I got in that league: Harrison Bryant, Hunter Henry, Hayden Hurst. There are six names. Five of them start with an H. Like, I don't care if they're good or not because I'm completely just, like, tanking this year. So I just wanted players to put on my rosters. But it's just, like, so many H names. And then I have Jahan Dotson and Justin Ross and Chuba. So those guys who have Christian McCaffrey might have to trade when he gets hurt. But now he can't get hurt because I traded for him in trade. See, this is why I don't trade for Christian McCaffrey, everyone. Okay, but so this 23 first to Travis Kelce. Let me ask you that. Let's call it mid just for the sake of it. Would you give up Travis Kelce for a mid 23 first?
Man, that's a
tough one. Answer was yes. And that's why I made this bigger. And that's why, like, and plus I wanted to get rid of Dalvin Cook because.
You're not competing, then yes. I mean, if you're not competing.
Well, yeah, like, let's pretend it's two teams, one competing, one not. If you had Kelce on your team, but you felt like blowing it up, would you take just one mid 23 first for Travis Kelce?
I probably
wouldn't. I can't do it. So I didn't want to send it.
Well, the issue being, like, again, he's 32 years old. When does that cliff happen? It's going to happen hard if he doesn't just flat out retire, which is also something that you have to, you know, put on the table, you know, if he suffers some type of severe injury at this age. It's one of those things where you just kind of got to weigh the risk with the reward. And I'm with you. Like, that's hard. Especially in a tight end premium, that's hard.
Yeah, if I can get like 2 years of top three tight end production, that's worth a first to me. I don't care what draft price.
I think there's 2 years left there. I mean, isn't Antonio Gates still playing?
Yeah, you know, he just changed the name on his jersey, but he's still around. Yeah. He's Hunter Henry. I don't know if you guys noticed that. It was
how many years was Hunter Henry supposed to overtake Antonio Gates?
Three.
Probably more than that, but you know, that's we only talk about three of them.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next trade then, Trade Addicts 5. This was another one of me trades where my Trade Addicts 5 team is very, 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 very bad. I have a lot of picks this year and a lot of picks next year, but for some reason, I still had Hunter Renfro on my team. And I couldn't get rid of him. Like, I could not do. I sent every single team Hunter Renfro and a 24 second for a 24 first, and I got 11 rejections. I was shocked that no one would just take that shot on him.
it was ridiculous. But I ended up trading Hunter Renfro for Brian Robinson and Isaiah Spiller.
I think the win in there is Spiller.
That's my I am a sucker for people that players that drop for seemingly no reason. Mm-hmm. Like Isaiah Spiller was seen as a good prospect. He was even liked by a lot of Dynasty people. And then he ran slowly. Okay. He's still drafted decently enough, and he went to a team with an old running back who's been trying to get someone to help him for years.
That gets injured every year.
Bite your tongue. Don't talk that into existence. Austin Eckler is a gem, and he will stay healthy.
No, nothing serious. It's
he twists an ankle.
Just a hammy.
The game, like
it's a hammy or
one or two games.
Ankle sprain. Little known fact, everyone thinks that Austin Eckler is such a small running back. He's bigger than Aaron Jones.
Go Google pictures of Austin Eckler and you will not think he's small.
No, I mean, height-wise.
Oh.
I'm not saying he's jacked, but
if you just asked me who was bigger, Eckler or Aaron Jones, I probably would have said Aaron Jones.
Yeah. No, I'm interested in Spiller. And another person that dropped for no reason, like Spiller, was David Bell. And I was scooping him up in the middle of the second round in every single
Rocky draft. And I would fight over him in so many of the TA leagues.
Yeah. Yep.
Any thoughts on Renfro for
George Ryan Pickens and Spiller?
Stephen?
I'm one of those that still sees the value in Renfro. But for those two, I think that is worth the deal there. I mean, specifically to what you said with the fact that, you know, Spiller's essentially just waiting in the wings for that opportunity in case anything happens to Eckler. And with Brian Robinson, the Washington situation is a little weird. I really don't know what they have going on there or what their plans are. If they're really only looking at Gibson as a pass catching back and whether or not Robinson is going to get his opportunity to, you know, kind of be that ground and pound player. I got to take the Robinson Spiller side on this one. But I think that Renfro still has some value, and I think people are underselling him way too much just because Davante Adams showed up in town.
I'm with you, by the way. I do still like Renfro. It is literally just this team specific where I was just like, all right, I literally have one guy who's going to score me points on this entire team. Why would I keep one guy? So I traded him for prospects. This next one, not me, was Trade Addict 6, and it made me sad that it wasn't me because someone traded Darren Waller for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Gabe Davis.
That is brutal.
I was not ready for this when I saw this email come in that there was a trade completed. And the thing is, I was like 2-3 hours late of sending offers for Darren Waller everywhere because, hey, if you head over to DynastyLeagueFootball.com and look for the trading post article, I wrote an article about Darren Waller. And honestly, I started the article saying, I have no idea what to think about him. Like, I actually, like, wrote and, like, figured it out as I was going. And I'm like, and even at the end, I'm like, okay. So I think the moral of the story is, I'm going to go offer some trades before this gets posted. And I missed it in TA6 because, man, CEH and Gabe Davis, that's like what, a second and a third for Darren Waller and it tried tight end premium league?
Yep. Man. I love Gabe Davis. I absolutely love him, but I don't love him this much.
You won't pay the two first for him?
I mean, I'm taking Waller on this side. I mean, even with, you know, the new Raiders coaching staff and McDaniels, I think that Waller's still going to have a place in that offense, and it's still going to do wonders for that tight end premium.
Davante Adams is just going to open up so much for him. I mean, the amount of double coverage that he saw, because that first game last year, what, 20, 20, 1,000 targets or something like that.
Oh, that was so good.
He was on pace for. Yeah, and having Davante Adams out there is just going to draw the defense and leaving Waller wide open. I'm all over Waller this year. And you're getting him at a discount.
Yep. Very exactly. True. Yep. All right, next trade. Trade Addicts 8. This one, I stared at this for a while. DK Metcalf and Michael Thomas for Javonte Williams. I am actually a proponent of trading away Javonte Williams. Like, I like the player. I like him a lot. But man, like his price, I don't know if it's still there because this isn't that high to me. But like, I feel like you could get more for Javonte. But I just, my DK Metcalf love is there. And if this Baker rumor is real, and I really hope it isn't, like, I think that's great for Metcalf. Because you don't need to be super accurate to throw it to DK Metcalf. It helps, but you don't need to be. Because he's taller, faster, and longer arms than anyone that's going to be covering him.
But
yeah,
speaking of somebody that, you know, dropped because of poor performance at a combine, because that cone drill. another reason why Spiller is a great investment. I like the Metcalf Thomas side, but I also agree that you could get more for Javonte. I mean, the fact that Melvin Gordon is still on the team does not help his case to rise up the board of
there's going to be someone there. Like, he literally can't be the only, like, him and Mike Boone is not a running back room.
But there's a little difference with Melvin Gordon is him and Russell Wilson are very good friends. They went to college together.
1 year.
They're 1 year in Wisconsin.
It's a thing. I mean, Derek Carr was the quarterback for Davante Adams. Come on.
This is like a reunion year. I didn't even put all this together.
It's Tyler turning into the NBA where everyone's going to play with their buddies.
Good. Let them do it. That's awesome.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, you know, if Steven and I were all playing flag football, I'm going to throw it to him. You know, that's
a terrible idea.
Okay. I'm going to let him block for me.
That image is going to be in my head for a while. All right. We have a Trade Addicts 9 trade, which was Jahan Dotson, a 23-second and a 23-third for Garrett Wilson. Okay. This was me, and I don't have a good excuse for it. I wanted to make a trade, and it was literally off of the basis of, there's like two nice articles about Jahan Dotson. Let me go get a share of him. So I traded Garrett Wilson. Well, I forgot what else I asked for, and he came, and this was me and Rocky, by the way. And then Rocky came back with a second and a third. I'm like, I mean, I feel like if this was the actual rookie draft and someone offered the 111, 112, a second and a third for like the 105, probably take that. That's fine. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do that. Like, there really is no actual logic behind this. This was like one of those, okay. That sounds like fun. You were down on Dotson, so that's fine.
Well, the other thing is, both of their situations are just not ideal right now. And neither one really moves the needle for me in the short term, where that's second and third. I mean, a deeper class, I'd probably lean the Dotson way.
I like Steven. He agrees with my sides a lot.
I don't think I would make that deal either way. I mean,
it's just so meh.
I know, right?
It really. I mean, you got two lottery tickets. never Jets, and never Washington.
Right?
So this was like the winner is the guy that gets the third round pick, I think.
the second, no. The third,
the second,
yes.
Whatever. The second, everyone thinks, everyone still thinks they know what they're doing in the second round. It's when you can get that third round pick in there and.
I want it noted for the record. I have literally never claimed to know what I was doing ever about fantasy football. Never have I claimed to know what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would look at that trade in my inbox and be like, nah, I don't really want to take.
I was honestly really surprised he even countered my offer. Like really just thought he would be like, who cares? No. And then just like rejected and move on. But like, we didn't have, like on Monday, we had no trades. And then just like, I went nuts and Rossi sent a few out. And so I just sent one just to hopefully have something to talk about. But here we are. The next trade we have is Justin Fields and Hunter Renfrow for Deshaun Watson and Devonta Smith. Now, clearly this was made within the past few days. So there's no new news like this. We knew what was going on with Deshaun Watson when this trade was made. I mean, I am team never Deshaun at this point, so I love me some Field. And we already talked about how Renfrow is a decent enough value for production. So, like, honestly, I would take Fields and Renfrow without thinking about it if I ever, for some reason, had Deshaun Watson on my team.
Look, in the words of John Bosch, is we've already made these players pieces of a board game, right? Watson has more value to the person that has them than you're going to get anywhere on the market anywhere. So you're basically stuck with them. Morals aside, obviously, there's no reason to go out and get him. I would not validate anything he's done. But the potential of value is definitely on the Watson-Smith side for me.
How do you guys feel about Devonta, by the way, with AJ Brown there?
I mean, I'm taking the discount.
I really like him as a player, and more, I almost put a really badly composed sentence out there. A better offense is good for all the offensemen. And I know I always get yelled at for using hockey terms, but like a good offense is good for the people on offense. So putting AJ Brown is like the same thing we were saying before for Adams and Waller.
Yep.
Like, Devonta Smith, maybe it would have taken a year or two for him to develop into that guy who it doesn't matter if he's getting bracketed. But now he doesn't have to worry about that right away. Like, he can mature into the league at a bit of a better pace having AJ Brown on the other side of him. Like, and that's because I believe in the talent of Devonta Smith, that I feel good to say that out loud. Like, if you weren't a fan, then yes, you are probably just further out on him. But as someone who liked him, like, I think this is good for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, like, take Waddle, for example. He put up really good numbers last year. Mm-hmm. They add Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's just going to help him. It's going to help Waddle because Tyreek's going to be taking the attention. Same reason T. Higgins had a great year last year.
Freaking awesome.
Jamar Chase took away all of the attention. I mean, Jamar Chase came out on fire, right? And then all of a sudden defenses had to adjust, and then T. Higgins picked up. They can't cover them all. The more you throw out there, the better the wide receiver twos and threes are going to be on a team.
So what you're telling me is that it's Hayden Hurst season, and I did a great job picking him up in threes.
Hayden who?
Exactly.
I mean, Wes Welker had career years when Randy Moss was there. You know, it's all about you grab the number two on a good offense. You're going to get him for a lot cheaper, and he's going to put up some numbers for you.
Hashtag analysis from @Bob_Gilchrist. There it goes. The last trade we have, TradeAddicts 10. There's some pieces, so you got to pay attention for this one. Let's get the easy side out of the way. Christian McCaffrey and Cooper Kupp for Trevor Lawrence, Kenneth Walker, 2 23 seconds and vaulted 23 thirds.
Lawrence all day. Lawrence side all day.
I feel like the value is on. Man, see, this is tough because at no time going forward are you ever going to get increased value out of McCaffrey and Kupp. They're both just too old. But, like, this is the kind of move that could win you a season.
It is, but I feel like this is a combination where they, like, negate each other, where you have CMC where everybody's got that bad taste in their mouth over how it ended for him last season, then Kupp on the rise, and it's like, well, yeah, I get Kupp, but, you know, I've got this guy who hasn't been able to play a full season in 3 years now. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, I think he's due for something. Ken Walker, it's only a matter of time. Rashad Penny, yeah, he's had some really strong moments when he has had that opportunity to be a bell cow. But, again, we're talking about such a small sample size over the course of four years. Yeah, because he got his fifth year decline.
3 full-year.
And then
2021. Never mind, I can't count.
and again, two 2023 seconds plus a 2023 third. You know, by the time that Lawrence and Walker develop, you got those picks. CMC and Kupp could be out of the league. I mean, maybe if you're looking at, you know, an opportunistic, I'm going all in this year, then fine. You know, pay the price for Kupp and CMC. But if you're thinking long-term outlook, I would not touch this trade with a 20-foot pole.
How you feel, Bob?
If this was a bankroll league, I would be all over the Trevor Lawrence, Kenneth Walker, and the picks.
But this is a draft league.
Right.
There's no compiling value in picks.
I want a first out of that, because I feel like you can get two firsts for Cooper, you can get two firsts for CMC. I feel like you're short a first on the Trevor Walker side because both still unproven. I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy.
I was going to ask if you believe in the talent, at least, even though what happened last year.
It's not that I don't believe in the talent. I don't believe in the organization. And the organization if the owner of the Jags changes, then I might have a different look. But that's where it all starts. I mean, that's why the Jets are no good.
We keep going back to the Jets in Washington. Yes,
those and are it's ownership.
Yep.
If ownership, you can change coaches, you can change GMs, it doesn't matter. Ownership changes. That's when you see a difference in teams. Patriots, they got good when Robert Kraft took over as owner. You know, the Rams changed ownership. They became good again. People don't value ownership as much as they should, because just like every corporation, it starts at the top and it piles down. So I'm going to stop my rant, but yes, it's the situation in Jacksonville that they would allow Urban Meyer to select Travis Etienne when they already had James Robinson, you know, at a position that is so replaceable with so many other needs. They just they're not picking to help Trevor Lawrence and then dumping a boatload of cash on Christian Kirk.
Watch what you're about to say. You be careful with these next words that are about to come out of your mouth.
Savior Christian Kirk. I feel like there is a few other players they could have spent that kind of money on.
Yeah.
If he changes teams, he might have something there. But I'm not gonna. Without another first round pick, I would stay with Kupp and CMC and move them a different way.
Yeah, the more I'm staring at this, I think I'm taking CMC and Cooper Kupp, even though I know, again, every second that passes, my side's getting less valuable and the other side is getting more valuable. But man, that's just like the possibility of points there is enough for me to be like, okay, that's fine. And then like, even if I decide like 2 weeks in, as long as McCaffrey hasn't gotten hurt yet, I'll be able to, mm-hmm. I should be able to get something like this back week two of the season.
More. I think you can get more.
So like, that's why I think I'm good with it. All right, that was our last trade, so let's move on to listener questions. The first one we have, at Andrew Hall FF. Hey, buddy, any advice for co-managing a league with a friend?
Don't.
Okay, so...
Well, would you consider some a friend? What do you consider?
Not someone with the last name Bosch. See, like, here's my thing. Like,
if you're doing it with Bosch, it's you're doing all the work, and he'll just send out. I mean, he'll just say, "I'm managing it. I'm co-managing it with you."
Like, I share a team in the DLF Championship Series with John and Matt Price, and it's just been fun to have that side little group text of the three of us, and that's fun. But when it comes to actually managing a team with other people, hate it. The only way it works is if you are two people that play and think the same and trust each other to just go do things. Like, having to be like, I want to offer trades. What trades do you want to offer? I don't know, man. I just want to click through teams and click buttons. Like, I don't have to run everything by someone. But if someone's like if Rocky and I owned a team together, like, we would trust each other to go make trades and make smart moves. And if anything, we know we wouldn't lose too much value, but we definitely yell at each other when we traded away. Like, if you ever traded away T. Higgins, there would be words. And he would do it just to have me yell at him because he would think it was funny. And again, as long as this is like a low stakes, fun league, if it was a Trade Addicts league, that's completely fine because that's the point of those. But like, oh man, co-managing on like a big money team. Oh my God, I can't imagine having to like make those group decisions. I could never do that. But like, yeah, as long as you're two people that trust each other and actually like are cool with the other person making moves without you, because like, what if you can't get in touch with someone? Like, what if someone's going to the movie, like going to see a 3-hour movie, and like this deal needs to be made now? Like, are you just going to not let it happen because you can't get in touch with the guy?
Right. You got to be flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, Bosch and I are in Dynasty Trade Calculator Listener League, and you know, he'll say, oh, I'm going to send some trades. I just say, whatever. Go for it. I know. I mean, and he'll, you know, send out 40 trades and we'll get 47 rejections. And I use it. How is that possible?
I can tell you why it's possible. It's going to like, I'll go into that group text of John and Matt and be like, I'm going to send some trades. Whoa.
Let's think about this for a second.
That make a lot of sense. They're a lot, at least value wise, line up. When you're letting me go nuts, it's just like, okay, how is this going to go? And rightfully so that you think that. Well, hopefully we didn't just completely screw some guy over. You were about to share a team with Andrew. Like, I, you know, sorry, but whoever that co-manager was. The next question we have at our run 13. What do you want in return for Kittle in a 0.5 tight end premium league? Do you think you're getting... Are you getting a 23 first for Kittle anymore in a 0.5 premium league?
I think you are. I think you are, plus a little bit on top of it. I think he's right on that fringe where he's just worth a little bit more than a 23 first. You know, if somebody offered me a first and a second, in that regard, probably. I mean, I'm taking that.
Yeah. What about the first and Tyler Higbee?
Give me the waiver wire fodder. I don't know. You know, it's just it's he's one of those guys where yeah, the opportunity is there, but I really don't like Trey Lance. I don't like what is waiting in the wings and what he's going to mean for that offense and those pass catchers. And that scares the living hell out of me. And I'm looking to deal him in, you know, sooner rather than later than to be holding the bag when that does happen between the injuries and just the fact there's a lot of unknown there.
Yeah, the first thing that popped in my head was that first and a second, and he would be gone. Like, if I can get that all day, and I think you're right. I think in most cases, you should be able to get more than a first on name value alone.
All right, straight up, not talking about picks.
Mm-hmm.
I would try like Mac Jones.
Homer.
Yeah. No, young quarterback. I mean, it's Superflex, right? It was Superflex.
I don't think he just said
tight end preview.
Okay, okay. George Kittle or Terry McLaurin? They are next to each other in ADP.
Ooh.
I want Kittle because of the there's only five or six tight ends that you really want. I can get a different McLaurin. But I was going to say, if you can try to turn Kittle into Hawkinson, that's something I would try to do.
Hawkinson in a second?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still believe in Hawkinson, but I'm less confident than I was before last year.
You know, I ran that Dynasty Planet app. Yeah. Have you guys tried that? I didn't realize how invested I was in Hawkinson through this offseason, because he surpassed Pitts in the amount of leagues that I have. So
I'm telling, I don't know who I'm telling, but I feel like I have to tell someone.
In 38 Dynasty leagues, 20% of them I have Hawkinson, and 18% I have Pitts.
I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
I get it. But You got to remember. I've got Price and Bosch in a lot of leagues with me. So trying to get him in every league is not as easy.
Okay, and let's give respect where it's deserved. I asked what are your favorite cartoons and what's your favorite late night snack. He throws out G.I. Joe, He-Man, and Thundercats. So clearly he's around at least our age, Bob. Because I mean, that's what we grew up watching. I have no idea how old you are, but you seem younger than we are, Steven.
A little bit.
Okay.
Not by much.
But hold on. This late night snack, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which first of all, the 101 of candies. But then he says, and a jar of Jif peanut butter with a spoon for added fatness. That is baller to the level I've never even imagined. Adding peanut butter to peanut butter cups? Like, that changed my life reading this. Like, for some reason, it never occurred to me to just go do that.
I went to the store and bought a whole jar of peanut butter after I read this.
I mean, I'm not leaving the house, but I freaking DoorDashed it. Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what the big cups are for? Don't they have big cups now? No? Okay.
Ratio is so wrong on anything but the original, just the regular size peanut butter cups. But I guess if you're adding a spoonful of peanut butter, you don't care about ratio anyway. You know what's awesome? The big cups that have the stuff inside of it, like the potato chips or pretzels. Like, adding salty snacks inside of your peanut butter cups, great way to go.
Fair point.
Oh, why the hell? Dynasty FF Addict wants to know, come on, Rocky. Come on. How does one focus on two 14-team startups while going on a walkabout in the deserts of Philadelphia? That's actually what he said in his I'm reading it word for word.
That you are.
You don't.
Actually,
the sound effects in there have to be terrible.
I have been talking to him, so hopefully I get to that same desert and meet up with him in a couple days.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm jealous. Very, very jealous. The deserts of Philadelphia, you know, sound beautiful.
Yes. You should probably come down. There's a live draft going to go on as well.
Yeah, let me tell my wife. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, that'll go well.
There's been worse ideas.
Yeah. So, okay. When you're in a slow draft, and let's pretend you're a nice enough person that you at least have like your cell phone set up to notify you when you're on the clock. How often do you really check it? Like, do you just wait to get that notification, then take 5 minutes to see what's gone on since your last pick? Or are you one of those people that'll like check every 20 minutes because you're crazy?
It's a combination.
I,
how bored you are, I guess. But like, I'm completely fine in a draft. Like, I don't feel the need to have the draft update where you get alerted at every single pick. Like, that's maddening to me. That's way too much. But like, I know a lot of people enjoy or feel the need to see how a draft goes as it's going, but to like, I'm completely fine just like, oh, those are the 8 picks that have happened since before. Okay. Yes, doing that, you lose out on a lot of trading opportunities, but I don't think that's what he's talking about right now. You know, the question, the real answer is you set your notifications, cross your fingers, they work, and get at least one person in the league that you trust to text you when you are on the clock, just in case you don't, you get that email or something. Cause I think they stopped texting notifications now.
You have to have that emergency contact to keep you in the loop at all times.
So
that is essential.
I mean, primarily I'm in auction. So if it's slow, I'll take a look at, you know, the next 5 hours.
Yeah.
If there's anyone coming off the board in the next 5 hours that I need to bid on or something, I'll take care of that. Or if there's somebody I'm on the fence on and it's got a 3 hours and 38 minutes before it comes off the board, I'll set a 3.5 hour timer on my phone to go back and check it. And literally happened today in a league. Someone said, oh, our auction's in 2 days. I said, we have an auction? Okay. is it live or slow? And they said, slow. I go, okay, don't care what then.
I can handle that.
I can handle that standing in line at Disney.
Yep. Deserts of Philadelphia.
In the desert.
Deserts of Philadelphia.
That's what he said. Next question. At Pwin Dynasty, who asked like 64 questions, but I just took the first one because I was too lazy to copy and paste it all. Steven, what was your favorite SFB Avi you've made, and why was it my Led Zeppelin one last year? Do you guys actually?
I didn't make that for him, so I don't know why he thinks I did.
Take the credit. What are you Yeah, he did. That's his favorite that he's ever made.
I'm 99% sure I didn't make that one. Maybe I did. I don't know. I lose track of all of
these. That was going to be my question. So like, do at least some of them stick in your head? Like, oh man, that was really good.
Yeah, I mean, last year I got to do one for Matthew Berry, which was awesome.
That's very cool.
We did that live, too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did do it live. See, that one sticks out. And really, I mean, I every year I'll do anywhere from like 40 to 60 of them. Maybe not as many this year with shirts. We have 41 shirt designs, by the way, on the FF Pod shirt site.
And you 41. Know what? Remind me to talk to you about that after. I have an idea about the whole shirt thing, but I don't want to give anything away.
Oh, yeah, look at Bob teasing future announcements.
I do have a little tease that I was just talking to Scott about.
All right, and his next. No, let's leave it as a tease. Let's move on. And his next part is also talk about why Russ should be out on Justin Fields.
No. Okay. Be out on him this year. Don't be out on him in 2023. Buy him now so you don't have to worry about it next year. This year's going to suck for the Bears. Point blank.
Let me check.
Gonna suck.
I don't think it's going to be worse than last year.
It's not going to be worse than last year, but when you're trotting out an offense with Darnell Mooney and Byron Pringle and an offensive line that you could argue is worse than last year, I'm not in that boat just yet. There's still quite a bit of cap room. I'm still waiting to see if they're going to even touch. I think they still have like $20 million in cap space. But whether or not that's a veteran wide receiver or they go out and get a right guard, which they desperately need, so Justin Fields isn't running around like a madman with opposing defenses chasing him. Don't be out on Justin Fields. Don't.
I'm out on Justin Fields.
How dare you?
Is it the player or is it a combination of player and situation?
Yes.
There was another Ohio State. Yeah. Is this an Ohio State thing?
Because that's
let's not go there.
McLaurin and Fields that you're rotating right now.
You
just start saying some bad things about J.K. Dobbins, so I could just boot you from the show right now.
No. I'm in on J.K.
Just
I'm
making high. Sure.
I mean, have you? If you looked at my Twitter banner, he's still up there.
I mean, I didn't even know who you were before the show. So I mean.
Wait, who am I?
It just says guest. I don't know who you are.
Am I?
Who made guest? These graphics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Next question.
I gotta find the show sheet again.
Bob and Russ, tell us in two words or less how it feels getting redlined with seconds to go on a 12-hour clock in a 45-team league.
Don't bother me. You have to notice. Actually care. Yeah.
If it did happen to me, I legitimately did not notice. Like I have not seen a single one of my auctions go through. It's just like, oh, wait, I bid on people. Did I get them? Oh, well, crap. Oh, wait, I got guys. Yay. Like, I literally celebrated that I won a player because it took a couple of days. stuff like that doesn't bother me in general because, you know, it's a game. But also, it's just like, and I don't check enough. Like, I'll check within 12 hours. But, like, if I go and check and I didn't see this guy because I haven't checked in 8 hours and now he's only there with like 40 minutes left on a 12-hour clock. I mean, sorry, if I want the guy I'm bidding on him, I'm not going to, you know, not bid because he only has, because he's, you know, redlining. Sorry?
Yeah, I mean, people think it affect. I mean, for those that it does affect, it can really affect them. I've been texting with Mike Fiala, Daddy's Home, this whole time about Threaves, and literally every time we go in and bid on 5 or 6 people, we'll send a screenshot that we bid on these people and we guess how long it took till they all got knocked off. I mean, it was just, you know, it happens and great. Just keep spending. I'll wait for the next copy.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it. And it was Mark Andrews. It wasn't Kittle that I got. So I got 3, pretty solid tight ends in a 15-team league. So 45.
That is a positional advantage, I believe they call that.
I think. And you know what? I'm going to try to trade one for not a tight end.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Got to get one back. And here, after he's saying how mean are other people, listen to this next part. Steven, if I can't end up hosting our draft end of July, should I just pretend I'm still hosting it just to make everyone drive out?
Yes. That is 100% yes. So this league, it is known as the Brainiacs. James the Brain was a part of it. And so we, in his honor, we renamed it as the Brainiacs. Every year it's, the champion's choice to, pick the draft location for the following year. And everyone except us lives in the south suburbs of Chicago, which is at least an hour drive depending on who wins it. And so Scott is 15 minutes from my house. And so I told him, I'm like, when he said he couldn't make the weekend, I'm like, who the hell chose that date? Because I'm not driving down into the south suburbs again. So yes, pretend you're still hosting and I'll just show up. And if it requires breaking into his house, then we can work out the details later.
I mean, how about you just make everyone angry and have it in New Jersey? We can do it in my basement.
Done.
I just like having friends over and I don't like going
places. You have it in Canton.
No, that's too, this guy's not going to Canton.
Remind me. I'm sad now.
All right. Our last question at the Jake Earl. What is your favorite smoked meat?
Oh. Ooh.
That was a very pointed question.
He's hitting home with both Steven and I.
Yeah. So background, family owns a barbecue catering company. Ooh. So I smoked meat is a heavy part of my diet. Man, that's a hard question. I love burnt ends. Like, yeah, absolutely love them. Like, I could just pop them all day. However, one of my favorite things that we have at the shop is we call them pig sickles. I've posted them a couple times. It's very thick pieces of bacon, like this thick. And so we'll throw those on and then afterwards glaze them in maple syrup. And my goodness, like I can just, yep. I could eat like 20 of those and feel terrible afterwards doing it. But I mean, I'd say those are my two that I cannot get enough of are the burnt ends and the pig sickles.
Yeah. Like right away, like my brain just goes brisket. The answer is brisket. But then I'm like, well, you know what? Like any piece of a pig and like I'm sold. Like, to me, just like pork is just so freaking delicious. And then like actually cook it well, like, you know, low and slow, baby, just like get that going.
Yeah. I mean, and
getting worked up over here.
So, I mean, the Jake Earl, he definitely nailed this because, you know, during the COVID hit, everyone was posting the FF Fit Club. So I all of a sudden said, let's get an FF Barbecue Club and started posting with the hashtag FF Barbecue. And Steven, I know Steven saw it. He's like, this is brilliant.
This is brilliant. In this
forget moving around, running around. Let's smoke meat. And eat it.
And then what we do is you bring Chris Allen in because not only will he cook with you, but he'll bring his homemade beer, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I've never had it. And I'm disappointed that I haven't.
I love a really good smoked pulled pork.
Yep.
I like throwing it on at like 8 o'clock at night. Setting my alarm to spray it with apple cider vinegar and apple juice at like midnight, and then, you know, wrapping it at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And when it's ready in the morning, you get a little bit of it and you make some hash with it. Smoked pulled pork hash with your eggs and toast, peppers, onions. Oh,
dude, like we're gonna stop.
I'm hungry.
And I'm gonna go Google late night barbecue places, and I don't think I'm gonna get lucky.
You're not gonna find the stuff. I mean, I had one. I made this smoked jalapeno cheddar sausage one day, and I mean, I don't think they lasted about 20 minutes, and there was a dozen of them.
All right. He asked us to comp that to those meats to players, and I'm just not going to do that because I don't want to ruin this image of all of this delicious food that's going on in my head right now.
I have a thread. I have a thread of comping some draft picks to barbecue meats.
All right. Well,
I'll find that and post that to you, Jake.
There you go. All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Thank you, you beautiful gentlemen, for jumping on because we're already in a group chat and I didn't feel like going to find people to actually be on the show. So I'm just like, hey, come on the show. And they're like, okay. And it worked. And I'm very, very happy that you guys were here. I hope you actually enjoyed being here instead of, you know, me threatening that, you know, you better be here or I'm going to start crying and nobody wants to see a grown man cry. And like, they just begrudgingly came here. So I hope you didn't hate it.
If our intro was any indication, I mean,
yeah, it was not very good. If it's been long enough that you guys don't remember listening. Yeah. They were not.
My wife,
everybody tuned out immediately after it.
My wife tells me I don't come off very well, and I don't communicate well, and things like that. So
I think that's a different part of your relationship that you shouldn't be airing.
Oh.
Sorry, Mrs.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, right. There you go. All right, but before we head out, one more time, why don't both of you drop whatever you feel like dropping, and, you know, especially the way to get
FF Pod shirts. Go buy a shirt.
Yes.
All right.
FFPodShirts.StoreEnvy.com.
Yep, that is.
Be on the lookout.
What is it? SFBAvyMakers.com. I can't say that because I've never tried before. Is that what it is?
There's, I believe there's an underscore in there somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. It is SFB_AviMakers @SFB_AviMakers or SFBAviMakers.com. We have a website where you can order your SFB 12 avatar.
There you go. At @Bob_Gilchrist, right?
Something like that. Yeah, whatever.
Cool. At Steven with a PH underscore Roto at Dynasty Outhouse. So yes, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Just you gotta
go buy a Star Wars shirt.
Buy a Star Wars shirt, exactly.
It drives John nuts.
Yeah. No, we do. I have a really good idea for a Lord of the Rings shirt, by the way, that I thought of it yesterday and I'm very excited to make it. Oh. Just so John can call it a Star Wars shirt.
Can I say something though? Can I say something? The now behind the Podathon shirt, which is number one, is drafting from Hawkins now. So Stranger Things getting ready for this weekend, the end of season four.
Oh crap! I have to watch season two, three, and the first part of four real fast.
Godspeed.
But yes, go to ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. There's so much good stuff there. All the SFB12 stuff we've been making. Plus, there's still all of the DAP Network stuff, Trade Addicts, Timeline, Junkies, still Superflex Super Show, and some other stuff that shows that might not even exist anymore. I just never felt like taking their stuff down. So, you know, go have a good time. Every single penny that comes in goes directly to Fantasy Cares. So you get some awesome stuff. Kids will get some awesome stuff for the holidays. It's a win-win. So please check it out. Buy some stuff. Have a good time. And also patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod, where if you were a patron watching this live streaming, you could see the beautiful drafting above the clouds and Cloud Sydney shirt that Bob is wearing right now. Or you could just go to ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com and see the shirt there also. There are just so many ways you could see these awesome shirts.
He's going to get his other shirts.
Yeah, I just thought he was done with us and just like got up and left. Either way, that's fine. Because by the time he gets back, we're going to be done because I'm wrapping this up right now. I think I'm wrapped up already. I said things. Hopefully you liked the things I said. And I'm just going to say goodnight because I have no idea what's going on anymore. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLS family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.